This morning we're going to go to the Old Testament. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7, so if you would turn there. We're going to take this passage and we're going to look at it. And this whole week, or actually the last couple weeks, I've looked at this one for the last two or three weeks, and it just never did feel right. And then sometimes God just kind of says, it's not right because you're not getting out of it what I want you to get out of it. And so when I finally am not stubborn enough to miss what he's trying to tell me, then he opens it up. So we are going to be in chapter 7, start in verse 3. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall die.' So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Assyrians hear the sound of chariots and horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us.' So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when the lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank and carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried off things from it, and they went and hid them. Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, let us go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called the gatekeepers of the city and told them." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you now and I just lift up your word. Lord, I know that you promise us you'll use it if we will just put it out there. Lord, I pray you open our hearts and our minds today. Lord, if you don't move in this place, then I'm wasting my time and each person here is wasting their time. But Lord, we call that you would ask your Spirit to move among us and to change our hearts, to draw us closer to you, that this would not be a normal Sunday. This would be a day that we come into your presence and we hear what you have to speak to us in a mighty way, Lord, that you would win this day, win this hour, that it would change our lives, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if we kind of go a little background, there is a famine in the land and that it tells us about. But here we have these four men that it tells us they're lepers. Well, a lot of times in the Bible, they would use that word leper for anyone that had any kind of infectious skin disease. Now, it might not have been the actual type of leprosy that maybe we've seen on shows or heard talked about or read about that is contagious and you would have to stay away. Some of them were just skin irritations, and they were all lumped together as leprosy. But here, I believe this is talking about that leprosy to where you were not allowed to be within contact of people. And if somebody was coming towards you, you would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Because if you let somebody walk up on you and you had leprosy, then by law, you were going to be stoned. And so I believe this is that type of leprosy because of the fact that these men are outside the city. They would have leper colonies outside the city, and that's as close as they could come to family and friends. And people would bring food out and leave it, and then they could go get it, things like that. But I believe these four men had that type of leprosy because of the fact that they were outside the city walls. And so immediately we stop and we think of these four guys as being outcasts. Now, maybe there was more, but these four guys were outcasts from society because of something that happened in their life. Something that, whether they were born and come upon leprosy, or if they come in contact with a person that they got leprosy, or for however they came across it, they ended up with leprosy. And that seemed to be the worst thing in their life because it separated them from everybody else. But as I look at that, there's another huge problem, and that's the famine in the land. That's talked about, that's dealt with as they go through, and God uses that. But the famine in the land is something that's often overlooked in these gentlemen. So as they have this talk setting outside the city gates, here's the four of them, and at least one, we don't know, but at least one says, you know, why are we going to just sit here and die? We need to do something. And so they start making these decisions. They come to a turning point in their life. At least one of them comes up with this revelation and says, we're going to die. And they have some choices to make. Their choices, when it comes down to what they have to do, when I first read this, I always thought, man, these guys are outcasts. They're having to make a choice here because they're going to die because of starvation. And so they're going to go out to the camp of the Syrians. That's one of their choices. The other is they can go into the city or they can just stay where they're at. I've read that and read that and read that for years. But they had choices to make. And why did they make their choice? I always thought it was because of the situation that they were having to go through. Because of the fact that they were outcasts, that they didn't have any other options. They had options. But when we look at these men, they are so much like us. They are so much like us. And let's get into that. I don't believe it was their condition that made the change. I don't believe it was what other people thought of them and making them an outcast that made them make their choice. But when we look at that, why do you and I make our choices? Why do we make the choices we make? Because of the situation we're in. It may not be leprosy, but we've got some situation we're going through. And so because of that situation, we choose our path that we're going to take. So sometimes we make our choices based on the situation. Sometimes we make our choices based on what people around us think of us. Well, everybody in the city thought they were unclean people and they cast them out. And so were they making this choice based on what other people thought of them? They don't want us in the city. Let's just go somewhere else. Were they making their decision based on somebody else? I don't think so. They're making their decision based on a terminal condition. They were going to die. Here they are sitting outside the gate. There's a famine in the land. And they come to those decisions. And here's the first one. Let's get up and let's go into the city. But if we do that, the famine's in the city and we're going to die. Understand this very clearly. Just being around a group of people doesn't mean you're not going to die. And I'm talking spiritually here. Man, if I can hang around a good group of people, well, then that's okay. Well, those people in the city, what was going to happen to them? They were going to die. They were in the city, but the famine was in the city. So just because I go hang around more people, that doesn't improve my condition. That was one of their choices. The other choice is if we sit here, we die. Too many times for us, we think, if I didn't do anything wrong, then I shouldn't have to change anything. That's our mentality. These men didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't their fault that they had leprosy. It wasn't their fault that the famine was in the land. Why should they have to change what they're doing? So many people believe, as long as I didn't do anything wrong, I have nothing to apologize for. As long as I didn't do anything wrong, I have no reason to change my behavior. As long as I didn't do anything wrong, the fault is not on me and I should be okay. These men did nothing wrong, but they knew, if I stay and sit where I am, I'm going to die. John 3:18 tells us that if we haven't believed in the only begotten Son of God, we stand condemned already. Didn't say anything about they'd done anything wrong. Now we know, I'm not saying that we haven't done anything wrong, because we all sin. We all are sinners in need of a Savior. But that verse says, if you haven't believed in the Son of God, you stand condemned already. If these men sitting outside the gate don't do something, they stand condemned already. That's where I was. That's where, if you've accepted Christ, that's where you were. And there's no way to candy coat this, but if you haven't accepted Christ, that's where you are. You stand condemned already if you haven't believed in the Son of God. So as we look at that choice of sitting and doing nothing, well, Pastor just talking about non-Christians here, so he's really not talking to me. Are we accomplishing anything? I accept Christ and I sit and I do nothing. I talk to nobody. I go nowhere. I do nothing. Am I accomplishing what He set out for me to do? Or do I just have an existence here that's not affecting anybody else, and so when I'm gone, nobody's going to care? When that leper, if he sat by that gate and he ended up starving to death and died, who is going to care? Nobody. If I accept Christ and I keep it to myself and I set myself in my room or in my pew and I never share or talk to anybody about Jesus and the relationship I have with Him, when I pass away, what difference did it make? What difference did God do through me if I do nothing for Him? I sit and I die. Now, spiritually, yes, I've accepted Christ, so I'm not going to die spiritually. But the opportunity for me to be used by God just begins to die if you don't share Him. So they could go into the city and die with a bunch of other people that were going to die. You could stay there and sit and you can die. And I like this last one. It said, if we go over to the camp of the Syrians, if they spare us, we live. I'll stop right there. Throughout this passage, there is only one hope. Going into the city wasn't going to work. Sitting there wasn't going to work. This is the only hope they have. The only hope they have is to surrender to the one who had the power to save them. That's pretty easy to see where that's going. We have a lot of options in our life. A lot of them lead to a lot of different places, but there is only one that leads to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He is the only one that can spare us from that condemnation that we all stand in. Why would they sit and do nothing? Why would they go into the city knowing that there was nobody in that city that had the power to spare their life? There is only one way that they are going to be spared, and that is go to the camp of the Syrians. Why would you not go to the camp of the Syrians? If you're going to die, or you're going to go here and have a chance. Why would you not go here? We don't understand that. And when it comes to Christians, well, I've already made that choice to go to the one that surrenders to me. Then why don't you give that option to somebody else? Why don't you tell them, if you don't surrender, you don't have any hope. This is your only hope. Why don't you share that? This one man, and I don't know who he is, it doesn't say, it doesn't give a name. But man, I wish he could get some credit. Because he's sitting there and he says, we only have one hope. Let's go and surrender to our only hope. Man, that's the best gospel ever preached right there. Let's go to the one that can surrender, to the one that can spare our life. And he had at least three other guys listen to him to this point. But what about that other option? This is the one people say, yeah, well, what if you surrender and it doesn't work out? You know what? Nowhere in this Bible does it say, Steve, if you surrender to me, life is going to be good. Nowhere does it say, Steve, if you surrender to me, life is going to continue. We feel like we know what's best for us. We feel like we understand that if I surrender to God, then He's going to take away all sickness. He's going to take away all trouble. He's going to take away all pain. He will one day, but not here. I wish He would. I pray that He does, but this book doesn't say that He will. But if they take, and if they do, surrender to the one that has the option, one that has the power to spare their lives. If they surrender, they walk to the Syrian camp, and if they had walked into that camp and the Syrians say, we don't want you here, and they kill them. They end up no worse off. I've heard people say before, well, you know, you live your life the way you want, and I'll live my life the way I want, and if I'm right, I'm okay. If I'm right, you're not okay. If you're right, you're okay, I'm still okay. I don't really go along with that philosophy. I understand what they're saying, but the bottom line is, that's to say I'm doing this because of how it's going to turn out. I'm living this way because I love Jesus. I'm living this way because Jesus loves me. They had the option of surrendering to the one that had the power, the same way we have the option to surrender to Jesus, and He has the power to spare us. But that choice is up to Him. And faith is surrendering to the one who has the power to save you. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God has the power to save us, but even if He doesn't, we're still going to serve Him. That's faith. That's these four men. Hey, let's go, and if they choose not to, that's their option. But we're going to go based on faith. We're going to go because that's our only hope. I'm going to surrender because that's my only hope. So we know what happens. It tells us that they went and the Lord had cleared out the camp before them. They had finally made the right choice. They had surrendered to the Assyrians, or what they thought was the Assyrians, and they went in, and when they did, they find food and drinks in these tents, and from going on from a famine here, they've got all of that, and now a leper probably didn't have much gold and silver. So now they've got gold and silver and food and drink. And man, they have everything they need. So they take and hide it. How many of you out there have made the right choice to surrender to God? And He has blessed you with everything you need. And you are taking it and hiding it. I've done my share of hiding it. We do that. They did it again. They went back to another tent and they got stuff and they went and hid it. And it doesn't tell us that second tent that they ate and drank again. They had their fill the first time. They didn't need any more food. They didn't need any more drink. They took every and we're just hiding it. And you got everything you need plus more, and you won't share it. You have everything because you trusted in God as your Lord and Savior, and you won't share it. God supplied every need they had. So many people want to say, well, you know, I prayed to God and He didn't give me everything I need. And we say, well, you know, He's not going to give you everything you want. I say, yeah, but He didn't give me everything I needed. Man, I need this, and I need this, and I need that. That's my opinion. He gave them everything they needed. Not what they thought they needed, what He knew they needed. He promises to supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. He will supply what you need. Not what you think you need. You are not God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him supplying what He knows I need through His riches and glory that I might serve Him. And I love this. Again, I don't know if it's the same guy or not. I don't know if it's a collective decision. But they said to one another, we are not doing right. How many times have you been caught in the middle of something and said, oh, this, I made a bad choice. I'm not doing what I should. I said, man, this is a day for good news. God has given you good news. And when you don't share it, you know it's wrong. James tells us, for him that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. When I know I should do something and I don't do it, man, the Holy Spirit says, you missed. You stumbled. That's a third time today. That's a third time this hour. He tells me, He will tell us when we're wrong. The Holy Spirit living inside us as Christians lets us know when we're wrong. So they made that choice. Man, if we keep it to ourselves, we're in trouble. This is a day for good news. Let us go and tell the King's household. Man, when I first accepted Christ, I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. But I was this little guy from Stockton, Missouri, and there was absolutely no way in the world I was going to reach everybody. I wasn't going to reach the king. I wasn't going to reach the president. I wasn't going to reach the ambassador. I wasn't going to reach people towns and towns away. They weren't either. Because remember, they had an issue. They were lepers. They couldn't go to the king. Man, their desire was that the king would know. Let us go and tell the king's household. Let us go and make sure that the king knows, because if the king knows and he understands all this good news about this food that's in the Syrians' camp is just there for the taking, he's going to let everybody know. He's going to take care of his kingdom. They had a desire to tell everybody. I wonder how we would do at that. Because the lepers were kept outside the city. They were not allowed in the gate. The gatekeepers would keep them away. You can't come in here. You've got an issue. You've got a disease. You've got an illness. You've got something that we don't want. You can't come in here. We don't want any part of you or what you have. Well, now they've got good news. Who do they go talk to? The people that rejected them, the people that kept them out. Do we go and talk to the people that didn't want us? They don't want what we have in our life. But now that we've got something new, now that we've got something valuable, what happens? The gatekeepers take it. They take this good news. We need to understand that we have to share with the people that always thought we were outcasts. Man, he's one of those Bible thumpers. He's one of those holy rollers. I don't ever care to be in a car ride with that guy ever again. The people that thought you were an outcast when you accepted Christ, they are the ones we need to reach. They are the ones we need to go to. I'm going to close up with this. They came and they called the gatekeepers of the city and told them the good news. Have you told your gatekeepers? And you've been given good news. You've been given the opportunity to surrender to Jesus Christ. And when you did, He's blessed you beyond measure with eternity. Salvation that can come only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He has given you that when you surrendered to Him. And you know you should go tell those people that don't know about it. So are you going to hide it? Or go tell the gatekeepers? One more thing I don't want us to miss in this passage. We know that these four men were setting out, and we know what their condition was. We know they were going to die. They had one option, one hope. What about the people in the city? Doesn't ever say anything about them. But the famine was in the city, so that tells us what? That even those clean people in the city are going to die without good news. Even those clean people that think they're okay, those clean people that maybe even go to church, don't say that. It's the truth. Clean people, unclean people like lepers, I don't care what you call them, if they don't have the good news, they are going to die. The people in the city, we're going to die. They may have lived in the fanciest houses. It may have been the king himself. And without the good news, he's going to die. What we need to understand is that clean and unclean people are both going to die without the good news. But you have the opportunity to share that good news with them. Or maybe you're still waiting to accept that good news today. You got a choice, like the lepers. You can sit and die. Or you can surrender to the one who has the power to save. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you and we just lift up this time. Lord, I pray you move heavy on our hearts. Lord, cause us to be attentive to your Spirit. Lord, to make a choice, to receive the good news, to share the good news, whatever it is, Lord, I pray you speak to us as individuals. Lord God, I thank you for your word. We praise you for loving us. We praise you for just who you are. Lord Jesus, move among us with your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.